Welcome back to the In Season Podcast, episode 22 for you today. We got a few buddies of mine, my youngest brother and Minkus, who you heard on the Kansas episode where he did a 1,000-yard spot and stalk. We come on today to talk about a little doe management. And over the years, we've had some different competitions. But last year, 2022, we started an annual doe patrol competition just because we were really trying to manage the doe herd up there in Michigan. We continue that into this year, and there's a little bit of controversy. This episode is a little bit different than some of the other ones. There's some education, but it's more your typical campfire type of banter back and forth, brotherly love, maybe a little bit of razzing each other, making fun of each other. But it was just a cool time to be able to get together with Holden and Shawnee and Minkus to just talk through why we choose to shoot does during different times of year, how we got on different does in different areas, and just some of the preferences and maybe some of the reasons why we choose not to shoot does as well. We go back and highlight a few of the things from the episode with Lindsay Thomas and the National Deer Association on when and why you should harvest does during different times. And we tell a few hunting stories as well and a few arguments on the validity of this year's championship and who should have won and why. But it's a pretty cool episode. I enjoyed it just to sit down and talk with some friends and family about our hunting experience for the year. And we hope you guys enjoy episode 22 of the In Season Podcast. We're talking about Doe Patrol, hashtag Freezer Queen, hashtag Jane Doe. It was just a really cool time to spend with everybody, and we hope to get to do that again soon. As we look into the rest of 2024, we're just getting kicked off here. We got a couple cool episodes coming. We got an outfitter spotlight from South Dakota and some new adventures that he's on to talk about pheasant hunting, waterfowl, thermal predator hunting, and a few other pieces. And then we just did another episode with Lonnie Morgan on predator hunting with the Yode Assassin. How to get into predator hunting if you haven't done it before, how to manage predators, and how he got into it, and the different steps that he's taken along the way with a few cool tips and tricks. For those that are going to be at the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg or NWTF in Nashville, stop by the Treason booth. We'll be there in season podcast recording inside the booth. So stop in, buy some Treason stuff, hang out with us, tell some hunting stories, share some pictures, and we're excited to see everybody. So before you go listen to this episode, don't forget to subscribe on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a 5-star review. And while you're at it, go ahead and go give us a follow on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, anywhere else you might look for your social media. So hope you guys enjoy this Doe Patrol episode with Holden, myself, my brother Sean, and our good friend Minkus. Welcome to the In Season Podcast, the hunting podcast that brings back the camaraderie of hunting, the campfire conversations about gear, tactics, hunting stories, big bucks, gobbling turkeys, and whatever else might be in season. Whether you're an avid bow hunter, a small game enthusiast, or trying to plan your next big hunting adventure, we are here for it. So let's go. Welcome back to the In Season Podcast. Fair warning a little bit today. We got Minkus back on here. You guys heard him on the Kansas episode. And then Sean Trombley Jr. from Michigan, otherwise known as my little brother, has more hair. Not as good looking as I am, but he is also, he's going to talk, we're all going to talk a little bit today about this annual doe competition, second annual doe competition, year number two. And we're just going to work in and how it came to be and doe management. And Holden's here with us. And he, you know, shot a couple freezer queens this year.
Sure did.
Welcome, Shawnee, Minkus. Welcome to the In Season Podcast.
How's it going?
Going pretty good.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, go ahead.
I say Shawnee is rocking a Dead End Game Calls hat that he ordered with the In Season discount, which is pretty cool, along with some other waterfowl calls. So happy to see that. And Minkus is over here rocking, to Holden's chagrin, a University of Michigan Wolverines hoodie sweatshirt. So Holden, how do you feel about all this? It's been a little bit of time. We haven't razzed you too much, but
yeah, I feel like we're falling apart at the seams right now. But you know, we're hiring new coaches. We're not going anywhere.
What was the other option? Keep no head coach? Right?
We're making a lot of new coaching hires and everything. We're bleeding recruits out of the portal right now, but. You know, that's all going to change.
They got to hire Tommy Rees, their offensive coordinator, who called a QB draw on fourth and goal from the three and nobody blocked.
I think it was an RPO. I think it was an RPO.
Yeah, I'll misread on an RPO. Holden, you guys might as well like go join the MAC or the Big 12 or something now.
Because no, you'll see. We're going to win. We're going to come out of the gate. We're winning the first four games of the season. That includes Georgia. Right? And all this talk is going to be gone.
Okay.
You guys can go rejuvenate the Pac-12.
Yeah, exactly. We are going to talk about some hunting here, but we have some other business here. Minkus and Shawnee and I were all together watching the national champion. No, not that. Well, yeah, we were together watching the national championship game. And but Minkus and Shawnee, how do you guys feel about Michigan winning the national championship, just smoking and destroying Alabama? And then doing the save to Washington.
The game went into overtime. There is no smoking of anybody.
It wasn't as close as the score seemed.
Yeah, you guys got sacked 7 times.
You guys dropped a bunch of punts, missed field goals.
Yeah, we were trying to make it interesting, you know? Okay. Michigan football.
Anyways.
I mean, for the national championship and everything, I mean, it was great. The whole issue now, though, the whole thing kind of turned out to be bittersweet. Michigan won a national championship, something none of us have really seen. I mean, they won in 97, but they split it. But then everyone that came back left. So now it's almost like, you know, we suck again. So we're going to have to go back to that. But overall, I mean, I just wanted one in my lifetime. I got it. So I could care less what happens now.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't get taken away from the sign-stealing stuff.
Allegedly. oh gosh. All right. So the main intent of what we want to talk about is me, Minkus, and my youngest brother, Shawnee here. Again, for those that don't know, I have 5 younger brothers, and I'm the oldest. Shawnee's the youngest. So I've pretty much been his mentor his whole life. He's looked up to me. I'm pretty much his hero. But on a serious note, we all historically have hunted together up in Michigan. It's some property that we have up there. It's only, you know, 22 acres, but it has been an insane problem with the amount of does that we have. And it is nothing to sit in the tower blind and see 30 or 40 does coming out into a wheat field or into a bean field. And we were having trouble at certain times of year, you know, getting on bucks and seeing bucks. And we just knew that there was a big need here. So this is the second year, but last year we essentially created a doe days to say, okay, during this period of time, you know, we're all going to have these doe tags. Let's see who can drop the most does, fill the freezer. And that's kind of how all this thing started. But Minkus, I shared a little bit on a prior podcast about your philosophy on doe management, specifically the size of does. You want to walk us through this a little bit?
Well, you have 2 kinds of does. I mean, if you're hunting in the South, it's probably quite a bit different. But up here, does get quite a bit bigger. And so you have 2 kinds, in my opinion, of size of does. You have space savers, which those are real small does, probably 6-month-old deer. and then you have freezer fillers. Those are your generally bigger, you know, at least a year and a half year old, about 100 to 150-pound doe. And just based on my poor success the last 2 years shooting does, I had decided I was going to shoot any doe that walked out by the time we hit December. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to shoot a space saver or a freezer filler, it doesn't really matter to me. Any dead doe is a good one.
Okay, fair enough. What do you think, Minkus, what do you think the buck-to-doe ratio was a couple years ago when we started this in Michigan? On our property, anyways.
I mean, it's hard to say. I would say at least 5-1. I know some people say that like they can't possibly be 3-1, but I know just from what I've seen. I mean, it was nothing to see 30 deer. You'd have like 4 or 5 bucks in those 30 deer. So I would say it's a good 5-6-1 ratio on that, at least that specific property that we're hunting.
Okay. Shawnee, what was your take on this? When we started this competition, you're always ready for a good competition, right?
Yeah.
How'd Minkus and I sucker you into this?
I think you were home on vacation, right? For Christmas or something?
Probably.
Yeah, and you said when you come up, there was, I don't know, like a week and a half period. And you said, yeah, let's do a little competition, some doe days. Not everybody could because some were working, but I think I was the first one in the woods and maybe the only one to kill a doe during that time.
Yeah, I think you killed two.
I'm really not glad that you guys didn't just watch me do what I just did.
Oh, I think you just spilled water all over yourself is what it looked like.
It didn't go well. Not to interrupt Shawnee's story, but that did not go planned how I planned it at all.
So,
sorry, Shawnee.
Shawnee and I have a bit of an argument here because initially the first year we had talked about it being like a set period of time in late December, which for Michigan, I think it's literally just a late antlerless season. And then this year we kind of didn't talk about it, but it naturally turned into via text total season number of does that have been taken. But Shawnee is disputing this year's kind of final standings due to the fact that it wasn't a specific time period. So here's what we did. Last year, shot a couple does, and I ended up boiling them and euroing these doe skulls. And, you know, Shawnee is, a four-time state placer for wrestling, right? Is that right, Shawnee? Four-time state placer, two-time runner-up. So he's got a significant amount of trophies that are sitting in my mom's basement that just sit there and collect dust. So we grabbed a trophy. We snapped off the wrestling person off the top of it, and we are mounting. We ripped his name in the championship little tag off the front, and we are essentially turning it into the Doe Patrol Doe Days annual trophy.
That's awesome.
We got the Euros done. I got to finish putting them on there. I even ordered little plaques with his name engraved on them for last year because I think you shot, what, four does last year, Shawnee?
Something like that.
Yeah, four does last year.
Exact amount.
So the trophy's not completely done yet because he just gave it to me. But Shawnee is disputing the fact that I've shot now. When we recorded in an episode that got released about a week ago, I had shot seven does. And I think I told you that I still wanted one or two more because as I counted up all the roasts and all the steaks in the freezer, I needed a little bit more for the family and to be able to share some of that with neighbors. So now I'm sitting at eight does for the season, and Minkus has, I don't even know that he saw eight does this season, and and Shawnee shot a couple as well. But Shawnee is disputing the fact that that I should win this year's competition because it wasn't during a set time period in Michigan when I didn't even have a Michigan tag.
Well, from my unbiased opinion, isn't your season like way longer than their season also? Like from when, yes. so there probably should be a set number
October
of days.
1st to January 1st. That's our season.
Or you can do it the other way where it's a free for all and then everybody is, you know, you can travel from state to state and hunt whatever hunting season's open for.
Yeah, if they would have went down to Kentucky for early season and smoked some does, that would have counted. It's not my fault.
Yeah, that's why we're going to
stay in Michigan.
We're going to spend $200 and some on an out-of-state tag to shoot doves. Yeah, that's what we're doing. Yeah. The other thing, and I don't think I've talked to Shawnee about this, technically your deer should be half a deer because they weigh half as much as our deer up here.
I concur.
Maybe the one that Holden shot.
Yeah, I definitely shot a space saver. Like, I mean, we could have probably fit it in a lunchbox.
there's no judging here. All right, I was ready to dust them by about, I don't know, November 17th. I was ready to shoot anything that walked in front of me.
So I think as we get into this a little bit, maybe we let you guys give just a bit of a story of your season. What you shot this year, how it scored and compared to what you did, or Minkus, how nothing really scored for you. But let's, Shawnee, why don't you open this up? What was your season like this year?
Well, I thought it was a bad season, but when I think and look back at it, it was probably one of my better ones. I took four does and my biggest buck to date.
Okay.
I feel like it started off slow. The property wasn't really acting like it was in years past. And prior to shooting my biggest buck, I don't know, a few days before, week before, I wounded a buck that I could not recover. So I was in a pretty bad mood for a week. And then I shot that buck and I called both of you. And you could tell by my voice that I wasn't super confident. I was just thinking the whole time, man, not again.
Yeah, we're going after this whole after thing you again. Shot that buck, I think you called me and you you changed your you went from shooting really light, weaker spined arrows to then going to a heavier setup, 250 or 300 spine, single bevel, fixed blade, because penetration was your issue on that first shot, right? So you went from kind of a light setup to then, I don't even know if you had your new arrows in yet when you shot that other buck yet. You hadn't changed your bow over, had you?
No, I didn't. So after I couldn't find the first one, I was like, all right, I'm getting new arrows and I'm not bow hunting until they come in. Because it was right before the rut. I was like, I'll just wait till the rut gets here. Get these new arrows, get them tuned in, and I couldn't help myself. So I snuck out in the woods, and of course, buck shows up, and I'm still shooting my old arrows.
And it did the trick.
So, barely, but yeah.
Barely, okay. But you've changed now. So what setup are you shooting now? How many grains is it? What's the FOC? What are you shooting?
I think I'm right around 17, 18 FOC, 560 grains, I want to say. Single bevel.
And you were sub, like what, 450 before, 430 for total weight?
Yeah, I think I was right around 430, 440. So I made a big jump, but it didn't take long to dial that in with my bow. So,
okay.
I mean, it took maybe a couple hours.
And out of the four does that you shot, how many were gun versus bow?
So the first one was on public with a bow. And then the last three were on your property up here in Michigan with a gun.
Okay. Okay. So you got four for the year, which was what you got last year. You shot four does last year and a buck. So I guess it's similar, but you shot a bigger buck. Last year, your buck was with a bow as well, right?
Yep.
Okay. Minkus, what's let's talk about your season a little bit. For those that don't remember, you've heard me whine about Kansas a couple different times. If you want to hear a more direct version of what happened, go check out Minkus is a co-host on the Generations to Hunt podcast, and he went full on no hold barred, telling every part of the story. I held back a little bit, but if you want to hear the full story, hop over there and you'll hear it. But Minkus and I were in Kansas. And his experience was about the same as mine. But Minkus, let's hear about your season.
My season was not great. I started off on a draw hunt. I got drawn for a two-week period. Like, we'll call it public land. I mean, it's not public land. Only a certain amount of people are allowed for that two-week period. And I did it for the first 2 weeks.
It's kind of like a draw refuge type hunt. It's protected. They only lost so many hunters out there, right?
Yeah. And the first week of that was awful. I was seeing maybe one or two deer. The other thing was it had more mosquitoes than any place I'd ever been in my life. So I moved around a bunch. Finally, the second week, I started finding some signs, some scrapes. First day, I put my camera up. Actually, it's Mike's camera. He just leaves them up here. But
for the record, they're not cell cams. There's some old SD card cams that I had on the property that he pulled from the property that we all hunt and asked me if he could take it to public.
Yeah. People walked by him and didn't steal them, so that was a plus.
That's because they're $20 Walmart cameras.
Yeah. But literally the first day I put the camera up, for whatever reason, I couldn't hunt the next morning. I don't know what I had going on. Shooter buck shows up on camera right at that scrape. I mean, in daylight. Like, if I would have been able to hunt, I'd have been able to shoot him. Never see him again. So the last week of that hunt, I did kind of narrow an area down, and I got on a really good buck. And then the very last night of the hunt was the only time I ran into people. We kind of figured out where we were going, and then I moved my stand another 100 yards, and that same buck that I seen a couple nights prior walked right underneath of me. I was at full draw, and I couldn't get a shot off. So that's literally how the rest of my season went, from either not seeing deer to I missed a buck. Kansas was a nightmare. The other issue I have is the ability to physically pull the trigger at time. I seen so many does, and I just like came up with excuses to not shoot them. Opening day of gun season, shooting light is, I think it was like 659. I heard the neighbor shoot two bucks that we'd watched all year. He shot the first one at 640 and shot the other one at 642.
About 20 minutes before shooting light.
Yeah.
So the fact that I was able to even get two deer was a miracle. Yeah, it was one of the rougher seasons that I've I've experienced so far.
Well, and some of the Midwest was a little bit harder this year because they didn't take the corn down until in some places like December, right? Mid December, when normally the corn's coming off around gun opener.
We still have corn standing. So the thing that didn't help us was April, May, June, when you're expecting a good amount of rain, it didn't hardly rain at all. And then like July and August, when it's normally dry, it didn't stop raining. And then it moved into September, and then it moved into October. And we had a lot of rain, which kept all the crops up, flooded Mike's property, and just overall, the weather was quite a bit different this year. Some of the issues I do think, too, were kind of like I contributed to just kind of being out there as much. So Shawnee and I have some plans to kind of limit that for next year while also trying to improve the property.
Yeah. So go ahead, Alden.
I was going to say that's something that I struggle with, too. Like wanting to hunt every day I can or have the opportunity to go hunt. But even though it's not the best day, it's so hard to like not make myself go out there.
Yeah, that right? wasn't Mikas's problem. His problem was he was doing too much habitat management too close to the season, cutting in trails that he overpressured the property a month before the season started.
Yeah, so I had this idea I was going to make trails all to the property, but I don't really have the equipment to like do it in a quick manner or like if it grows up too fast. So what ended up happening is I'd have to be out there like every 2 weeks to try and mow them, but it would take like 6-7 hours because I just have a push mower and I got to push mow like 3 acres. So yeah, that all that pressure didn't really help out a ton. So we have a much different plan that we plan on doing this year, and it doesn't involve me mowing 90 times. I think I mowed the trails there more than I mowed my own lawn last year.
He's not, and his lawn is about a quarter of an acre versus 3 acres of trails. So
yeah. What's taking 45 minutes.
What's your guys' take on when you want to shoot does? Because I think this is a big debate. I've even listened to podcasts and read some articles of people disagreeing on this. I have my own philosophy, but what between the three of you, what is your take on when you would prefer to shoot does? Shawnee, why don't you kick us off?
Any time but the rut is what I've always been told and what I've gone by. I would like to shoot does early season, but not when it's 70 degrees out. It really keeps me out of the woods. Now, I know it's a lot different for you guys. That's more your typical weather, but up here, I'm not about that.
So. I think I was in the stand early season, and there was a day it was like 94 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can promise you if it was 94 degrees here, I would stay at home. I'd probably go golfing. I can guarantee I would not be hunting in 90-degree weather. I mean, for me, I generally scope out the first 2 weeks of October when deer are kind of transitioning, but they're not really up chasing yet. And then the only reason I stop after the first two weeks, I know the rut's not going after that second week, but it's starting to get going. And the only reason I don't shoot a doe at that point is because during the rut, you could have a buck 100 yards behind a doe coming in to scent check that doe. So those does are going to bring those bucks in. So shooting them in that time frame when a buck is as dumb as he's going to get, at least a mature buck, that doesn't really work out for me. Now, most of the people that aren't from Michigan are going to think I'm crazy because our gun season is November 15th, which is peak rut, right? Pretty much after the first week of gun season, so November 20th, sometime in there, which is definitely still rut, we're shooting does again. Mainly because in Michigan, after the first 2-3 days of gun season, everything changes. A good majority of whatever bucks were alive probably got shot, and your chances of really seeing a shooter buck go down. So at that time, I just start trying to focus on shooting does. And then that goes all the way until January 1st when season ends. So there's only about a 3-week window where I won't shoot a doe. That third okay. week of October into about the third week of, I guess so it's about a month that I won't shoot a doe.
But you don't necessarily, Minkus or Shawnee, have a preference on. It sounds like you're not doing it because, I heard somebody say, "Oh, I don't want to shoot a doe after the rut because they've been bred," and in their mind, it's more of like their own internal moral issue versus, I guess, as you would think about it, minkus, kind of like your freezer fillers or your space savers. Well, that's, you know, that's two deer potentially, I guess, or maybe three. Holden, what about you?
I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I'll shoot. If I see a doe and I want to shoot that doe, I'm going to kill it. That's the end of the story. I mean,
okay.
I mean, I try, like I said, I'm especially during the rut, I'm probably not going to do it, but anytime outside of the main couple weeks of the rut, you know, if I want to, I'm going to put a smackdown on them.
Shawnee, you, I think out of the four of us, Shawnee, you and I were probably the only two that went into the season saying, I want to make sure I shoot X number of deer to fill the freezer. Cause I think you and I just, we probably grew up eating a lot of venison and still eat a lot. And I knew that I needed it, you know, somewhere in the last year I shot, seven deer, but multiple of them were from the Midwest. So, I shot two bucks in Michigan, which were about worth four deer down here. so it was a little bit different. So for me, when I think about it, I knew that before we went to Kansas, when I was going to have, you know, a more expensive tag and it was an archery hunt, that I wanted to shoot two does before I got to Kansas with my bow, what I would consider to be, and people might not like this term, but a confidence kill, right? That I've been there, that I've drawn back, that I've let an arrow fly, and that it's hit. And I was able to kind of get some of the trigger finger going, but also brush the rust off a little bit and take some of the pressure off early season. Okay, I have some meat in the freezer. We're good to go from that perspective. And now I can kind of get into more of a buck hunting type of mentality. So you guys both listened to this episode probably with Lindsay Thomas from the National Deer Association. I think my perspective on this changes a little bit more now after listening to him. I think I was already doing this, but not because it was rooted in any level of science or theory. And Lindsay was talking a lot about the time when we should take a doe related to wanting to take more does early in the season, because one, it's easier to tell does and button bucks apart earlier in the season because the button bucks are still much smaller in size. So you're less likely to shoot a button buck by confusing it. Two, you are reducing the doe population, which would then potentially make your rut more active because there's less does for the bucks to go around and chase and breed. So they typically would be more responsive to calling or rattling. I don't think a couple does in Michigan is enough to change that quite yet. And then one of the other major factors was the nutrition aspect, that deer eat a certain percentage of their body weight every day. And the three main factors for deer antler growth or buck antler growth were age, obviously, nutrition, number two, and the third one that we can't control in any way, really, is genetics. So if you take genetics out because you can't control it, the two controllable factors are age and then nutrition. So by taking does earlier, you're leaving more browse and more other food for the other deer to have, so you have a healthier herd at that point. That was kind of the science behind it. But for me, I think naturally, I wanted to shoot a couple before we got to Kansas. That was my goal. And then after that, it was kind of what you guys both said, 2 weeks before the rut. For me, it's a couple weeks before the rut, a couple weeks after the rut. Mm-hmm. And essentially, if you take that bell curve of the rut, whenever peak breeding is, and move outside of that a little bit. But in Michigan, I feel like, and you guys correct me, most people, because it's a two-buck state, they're going to shoot their freezer buck, which could be a spike or could be a forkhorn. And then they're going to end up shooting, you know, they're going to hold that second tag for a decent buck, which for, you know, for them might be a 90 or 100 inch deer in Michigan, right? So not a lot of people shoot as many does as they should. And if they do shoot does, they're waiting till late antlerless season in the end of December. And then it's so cold, they decide not to go out, or they don't want to do it, or they've already filled their two buck tags. They got enough meat in the freezer. But it seems like growing up, Shawnee, and maybe it was just our family, but most people didn't doe hunt until December. Like, they weren't even considering shooting a doe until December. You agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would say it's probably the same. I mean, I don't know. I used one of my buck tags on a doe this year just because, like, in Michigan, we can do that, and I didn't want to go buy another doe tag. So I bought one doe tag, and then I had two buck tags. And since you can tag a doe with your buck, you know, a buck with a doe, or it's an either sex tag essentially. So I just tagged my second doe with that. But I think the other thing people don't like shooting does in early October is because it's, again, it's 70 degrees out, like Shawnee mentioned. I know you guys probably are a little bit more apt to dealing with gut and deer with mosquitoes around you, but there have been days where I have passed up deer just because I didn't want to drag that thing out. Like, I didn't want to gut it. I didn't want to deal with all those mosquitoes because it was 70 degrees, or the concern that the deer might spoil. So, I mean, that's the other big issue I know that I run into sometimes early season of, man, if I shoot this deer, am I going to be able to get it taken care of, get it put in the freezer or cool down fast enough before it, you know, it spoils. So, I mean, I have lots of excuses to not shoot deer for some reason. I don't know. For someone that loves hunting.
To try to put this in perspective, Minkus, why don't you explain the difference? Like, you've hunted with me in Alabama. We hunted turkeys last year, right? That property is, you can get to a lot of it with a side-by-side or with a four-wheeler. Talk about trying to track a deer at this property you hunt in Michigan, because it's pretty much a swamp. I mean, it is a swamp. You can't even build on it because it's considered wetlands.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, you're not. So I'll tell you right now, you shoot a deer on this property, as much as Shawnee thinks there's Jeeps getting back there, it ain't getting back there.
I drove back there today.
It's frozen, okay? There's a whole difference. It's wet, it's black, mucky soil. So
you watched me drive back there.
No, I didn't. I was gone.
When we were cutting trails, you watched me drive back there.
Yeah, in the summer. When it's wet back there in the fall and in the winter, you ain't getting back there. But so you have to, like, you have to drag the deer out.
And we're talking 8 foot tall cattails with a good 6 to 2 feet of water, depending on where you're at. And every step, you ever step in mud, Holden, when you go to pull out and you're worried about it suctioning your boot off? Yeah. And it's like,
yeah,
that's the whole property.
That's the whole thing. Until you get to about the last 100 yards up front, if it's wet, like, you're going to have a bad day.
And it's hard you ever tried blood tracking in all water? It's not super easy.
We tracked Shawnee
this year.
Yeah, we tracked Shawnee's buck this year. I'd say the first 80 to 100 yards off of mud splatter off, you know, from the deer running. Shawnee knew where the deer ran, and I was just like, well, look, there's like mud where something was running here. And for the first 80 to 100 yards, we didn't have any blood. We just had that little blood splatter, or that little mud that kicked up on the grass. And then we found blood, and then we were able to find the deer from there because it was all standing water.
I was so flustered, I never would have thought of that. He was like, dude, follow the mud splatter.
And how far did that deer end up going when you guys found it?
Like 150, 170 yards, something like that.
I'll tell you, if you had to try to grid search, it's only 22 acres, which mm-hmm. isn't a lot. And I think, what is it, 7 of it might be wooded with some oak trees, but the rest of it's all this swamp, cattails. Although Minkus has trails, it's thick. If you had to try to grid search a deer that bedded down in these cattails, you'd never find it. It's so thick.
No.
We've tried shed hunting this for 4 or 5 years, and it is so thick with these cattails. I don't think we found one shed on this property.
So we never have. Well, yeah. Even Shawnee's buck died within, what, 5 yards of one of the trails I cut? And he didn't notice the deer until he was 5 yards away from it. And I was probably only 20 yards away from it and never knew it was there until Shawnee said, like, he was up ahead of me on the other trail. But Shawnee got lucky with his buck. It died at the road. So he only had to drag it like 80 yards.
It's nothing to take. Before we got that cart that Minkus has, it's nothing to take over an hour to drag a deer out of there.
So this property.
You remember when we had to drag 3 all the way from the back?
Oh, yeah. There was a night that Minkus and I shot 3 does, like, back to back to back.
So the property is just 8 foot tall cattails and, like, swamp.
Oh, it's a bedding paradise.
I'll show you a video. I'll send Mike a video of the trails this summer and just how the grass was well over my head that I was cutting down. Like, it's tall.
With a push mower.
And then so you're just like, you guys have just tower blinds there? Are there trees where you can actually, like, hang a tree stand?
It's not as bad as they're making it out to be.
Yes, it is.
There's plenty of woods to hunt that are open.
We have one tower blind that's about 15 feet to the base. We have another ground blind that's elevated, I think, maybe 5 feet.
5 or 6 feet, yeah.
That Shawnee For someone who's saying it's not that bad, I listened to him complain about how it needed to be taller.
That's because the box stand is 5 yards from the trail.
So, outside of that, and then there's, I would say, 6 to 8 tree stands, like, in the woods. A handful of them are kind of on the outskirts of the woods overlooking that grass. But, I mean, heck, this year I had a buck that was bedded down within 100 yards of me all day. And the only reason I knew he was there is because another deer went in there and kicked him up, but then he bedded back down, and I'd never seen the deer.
You can't really hunt the south half of the property because there's no trees to put tree stands in.
Mm.
Everything we hunt is on the north half of it, where it's that small section of woods where they feed in and out of from the river that runs on one side to there's an ag field on the back end. So usually what we try to do in the evenings, we talked about this before with, I don't remember who it was, but in Michigan, there's a more kind of predictable feed to bed pattern. Yeah. So what that ag field is on the west side of the property, we're essentially just trying to catch them going from all the thick bedding out to that ag field, the destination food source at night. That's really the main strategy in that area.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's a good time.
When you make us, when you went into the year, what kind of goals did you have for the season besides not shooting deer?
For the property, we wanted to shoot 10. Shawnee and I wanted to shoot 10 does. Well, we killed 5.
Okay.
So okay. Halfway there.
Yep. And then I just wanted to kill a buck that in Michigan, I wanted to kill a buck that was 120 inches or bigger. I seen 2. And looking back on it, the buck I actually missed early season right before we left for Kansas probably wasn't 120 inch deer. So I guess a little bit of luck played into that, but those were the two main goals, were just to try and shoot a bunch of does and then try to kill 120 inch deer in Michigan. And yeah, I didn't succeed in any of those. I killed 2 deer, missed one, was at full draw at 120 inch deer. I mean, he was inches from my tree, but I didn't feel comfortable shooting there. So when he kind of bumped out, he was downwind and took off. So yeah, not the best season I've encountered.
So it's a little bit different, right? Where we're at in Georgia, you pay whatever your annual tag is. I don't know what it is, 70, 80 bucks, something 60, like that.
70.
And you get 2 buck tags and 10 doe tags. And it's all in one. It's all kind of online checking in this. Alabama is, I think it's a 3 buck state. And then it's, I think you can shoot like a doe a day or something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's no limit on does, but it's included in one price. For the people that don't know how Michigan is, you guys want to walk us through like how Michigan, and it might be part of the reason why people don't shoot as many does, because many times they're separate tags, but what's that look like in Michigan from total number of tags, how you get them, what that looks like?
Well, you have to buy a base license first, which is 10 bucks. That's really just, I kind of just like a, hey, you can hunt, and then it includes your small game license. Then for bucks, you have 2 options, essentially. You can buy 1 individual buck tag, but you can't, if you buy just the one, then you can't buy a second one. Or you can buy the combo, which will have both buck and doe. And then you can get 10 doe tags. But all those tags cost $20 a piece. So you're talking $240 in just deer tags and then another $10 for a base license. So if you were to fill all your tags, it's $250.
That's the like an out-of-state license.
It is, yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, that's why I at the beginning of the season, I bought my base license back in the spring for turkey season. It goes through the entire year. So from January, or I think it's from March 31st all the way till March 31st is how long your base license lasts. So when I bought my turkey tag, I got my base license because they won't let you buy a tag if you don't have it. But then like for deer, how your tags work is more dependent on your area. Some areas you can't really use the buck tags for your does, I believe, and then other areas you can. It's kind of confusing. You'd have to look at the book. They have it kind of taken care of, but like for me, that's why I only bought 3 tags. I buy 1 doe tag and then my 2 combo tags. Come December, if I haven't killed any does, I can use both those buck tags on does, so then I'll use that. And then if I still have time, I'll go out and buy more, because you can buy them all individually. I mean, you can buy
for doe tags. The other thing for us is our turkey tags, I'm pretty sure, are included.
Yes.
For that $80 or whatever is we spend, you 2 buck tags, 10 doe tags, 2 turkey tags, and all your small game.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have to pay your turkey tags separate, right?
Yeah, turkey tag, I think, is another $15-$20. I can't remember. You're only allowed one turkey in Michigan.
Yeah, I've never killed a turkey in Michigan. There's some stories of me getting on, or Minkus helping me get on turkeys, and I don't know if we told that during the Kansas episode or not, but Shawnee, I think you made a mistake this year, didn't you, Shawnee? Didn't you go out and buy like 10 doe tags right away and spend the whole $200 and then not even fill half of them?
No. I bought 5 doe tags.
Okay.
And I filled 4 of them.
Okay.
So the reason for that is I wanted to put a little bit of pressure on myself to kill these does.
He wanted to win the competition.
Maybe I should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then you don't. No, then you're not going to want to be out $200 and some. So then you're going to have to kill deer.
So I think the areas that I hunt in Georgia, again, similar to Michigan, just so many does. If I'm just going off of my own camera data or my observations, it's pretty similar to Michigan from that. And a lot of the antler size where I'm at is pretty similar, right? I had a similar goal to you, Minkus, 120 inch deer, but it was the same type of concept from like a doe management perspective. So we did not hit our goal in Michigan, and I did not help at all because I ended up not even buying tags from Michigan because I'd already, I think, shot 7 deer by the time I came back for my Christmas break. So I was like, the non-resident tags in Michigan, for the lack of quality of deer that are there, it's absurd. It's pretty much
especially when you're the guy who owns the land.
Yeah, a non-resident landowner, it costs me like $250+ to hunt up there for a buck, and then even more if I want to shoot a doe or something around that. And I mean, I can go to Ohio for less than that. Our Missouri tags are less than that, and the caliber of deer is just so much higher. So as much as I wanted to spend time with these guys in the woods, it was it didn't make a lot of sense because my freezer was full.
I think you spent, what, like a 7-day tag for a small game for you was about what your tags cost down there. Well, it was like $70-$80, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like $70 for me to go rabbit hunting for 3 days. Stupid.
We've seen one rabbit.
We've seen a couple. Your world-class beagles were you know, they were doing their job, but your scouting was subpar at best.
Didn't you miss a rabbit?
No.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I did.
Yeah, you did. I did. That's right. Man, I don't want to hear it.
That's true. That's
the other issue we ran into this year is, like, Shawnee and I, come late doe season, we were going to bring people out, you know, specifically shoot does. The same people that complained about not having places to hunt, only hunt public, they wanted no part of coming out in December. I mean, we have insulated, heated blinds for them to come in, but they didn't want to come out just to shoot a doe. I think one of the things that I kept getting asked was like, well, if a buck steps out, can I shoot it? Well, no, like you're out here to shoot a doe. So like, I mean, it was odd. All the same people that I talked to in like the summer and fall about coming out late season, they all kind of bailed when I started asking them in December, which kind of killed Shawnee and I's attempt at reaching our goal.
Well, and you probably could have told them they could have shot a buck because they weren't going to, but you would give them a regulation of, hey, it's got to be a 3.5-year-old, 8s and better, because they wouldn't have seen any to shoot anyway.
I think so with Dan and then another guy, I said, look, if it's the biggest deer you've ever seen, then sure, shoot it. Like, I don't care, you know, but I was like, just so you're clear, we haven't seen a spike since November 15th. So, you know, expectations better be low. That kind of Dan did come out. Shawnee's buddy Dan did come out a couple times. He had no issues. His issue was kind of school stuff. But other people I talked to, they talked about it a lot. But when push came to shove, they didn't want any part of it. So, I mean, I don't feel too bad about it now. It did suck that we didn't get our doe tags though.
It's going to be interesting because there's I think there was a year that, between Minkus, you and I, this was before Shawnee was hunting the property, I think we might have killed 7 or 8 does on there 1 year, and it still felt like it never even touched it.
Jeez. Yeah, I remember you being all concerned that we would kill too many deer. Yeah, the first year that you owned the property, we killed like 7 or 8 does, and Mike was like, do you think that we killed too many? And I was like, no. Like, the day that we killed 3 in 1 day, I was in the woods, not even in a field, and I seen probably 40 deer. I was tracking one deer, and another herd of deer ran by, and I shot another one.
Yeah.
I saw Shawnee shot his 2 does this year.
I did that on the last time. We haven't told this yet, but this the last weekend of traditional rifle season here in Georgia, I knew I wanted at least one to two more does, and it was like the last morning that I was going to be able to hunt. Mm-hmm. And I go out to hunt this pop-up because it was cold. For Georgia, it was cold. I mean, it was what? I think it was in the teens that 60? Morning or something. No, it was like 11. I think it was like 11. I put on this new heated vest that my wife got me for Christmas, and which was money, by the way. And I go out to walk to this pop-up, and we'd had some crazy storms the week before, and I'd seen the pop-up the night before, and I get there, and it's gone. It's just blown away, and there's just a chair sitting there around a tree with a tripod, and I'm like, well, I'm already here. I guess that's what's happening. So I sit down. I see some deer off a couple hundred yards away down on this cut-over bottom where they'd burned some pine before, or the burn so they could plant more pine. And it's, I don't know, what time did I text you? 7:30?
Yeah, I mean, it was early.
It was probably 7:30. And across this big food plot, it's probably a 2-acre food plot, I see one doe come over the hill, and I see another one. And it starts to walk up, gets within about 130 yards, put the crosshairs on it, and drop that doe right where it's at. And the other one, not being super smart, bounds off about 30 yards and then stops and turns back. So I re-rack a shell, shoot that one, and drop that one. So I think by 7:40, on the last day of the Georgia season, I had two more does in the freezer. They didn't, I think sometimes we give them more credit than what they deserve at times for being really intelligent. They're really instinctive, yeah. But at times they may not make the best decisions.
Listen to Shawnee's two does.
Tell us about it, Sean.
This is ridiculous.
All right, so when was that? Late November?
Yeah, it had to have been late. I think it was like right around that November 20th, maybe 25th, because I know one of the does you were looking at was it was locked down with a buck.
Yeah, so I'm sitting in one of the tower blinds in the far corner of your property, and I do my morning sit, get down at like 11, and I start taking kind of a long route around the property, like straight towards the road from the box blind, right? And I loop around to go to the main trail. Once I hit the main trail, I look to my left, and probably 80 yards is a buck. I pull up the binos, get down, because I don't know how big it is. Pull up the binos, it's a little six. And I'm like, all right, well, that kind of sucks, but I'm going to sit here and watch it. So I watched it for probably 15 minutes, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to see how close I can get. So I start to stalk this little six point.
With no intent of shooting it, just to try to practice stalking it.
Right. I dropped my bag. I took my gun because I think I was looking through the scope on that. And so I get to within probably 60 yards and I realize he's locked on a doe. And at that point we were on full doe patrol. So there's this split tree, right? And the buck's on the front side and I can see the doe bedded on the back side, and I get probably around the 50-yard mark. I'm hiding behind trees, and I can only see her through the split, and it's just her head. And personally, I'm not taking that shot. So I call Minkus.
Wait, like you called him while you were like sitting there with the crosshairs on this doe?
Yeah, hiding behind a tree. So I call him. I'm like, hey, what do you think I should do here? He's like, I think you said just try and get her to stand up or move or something. I was like, all right, I'll call you back. I'll let you know. Called another buddy. I was like, hey, what should I do? He goes, yeah, try and get it up. As I'm talking to him on the phone, coming from the north, a herd of like 25 deer come screaming at me.
And from the river?
Yeah, from the neighbor's property. Come screaming at me. So I get behind the tree. I was like, I'm on the phone with my buddy. I'm like, hold on. I'm going to keep you on the phone, but I'm going to set you on the ground. Just wait. So I set the phone on the ground. These deer are running at me. They kind of swerve a little bit. But when they get onto your property, they're probably 60 yards maybe. And as soon as they get onto your property, I could not get these deer to stop. I was yelling at them, trying to get one to stop. I got one to stop, dropped it in its tracks. Tried to find another one. There's a couple spikes in there. started yelling at other ones, and I had to shoot one
like
on the
actually,
run.
Like, actually yelling? Just to, like, anything to get them to stop?
Yeah. I was bleeding at them in a very high voice.
Super aggressive.
What?
Just a super aggressive bleed.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible. But I shoot one on the run. It tumbles, and I almost took a third shot, but I knew there were spikes in there, so I didn't want to mistake one.
Yeah, I was at work when all this was going on. So he calls me the first time. I ditch off into an office real quick, answer the phone, talk, and then he calls me back like 2 minutes later, it seemed like, and he's like, get the knife sharpened or something like that. Like, he's sitting, like, sharpen the knife. Yeah. And then, he sent me a Snapchat of two deer like 10 yards away just laying there.
Hey, sometimes that's just how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pick up the phone. I was like, hey, you hear a lot of that? He goes, yeah, I can hear you yelling.
Oh, man. Well, we found out, hold on, I literally a couple days ago or yesterday, I did not realize, you know, I think some of the listeners know that I do a little bit of suburban hunting where I live. There's a small section of woods, and I got a decent buck around here. My fault. I did not realize that this county doesn't end when the rest of the state ends for deer season.
Yeah.
The rest of the state ended like on the 13th or 14th. In this county, it's an extended archery season through the end of the month.
Yeah, I had no clue. I have a property that's in like the same little border too. And Mike texted me, he said, you know, we can go bow hunting still. Oh, what do you mean? Yeah, our counties are still open. We still have, you know, 15 more days to go bow hunt.
I was blown away that I didn't know that.
Like, you're trying to snipe this doe trophy. You get to hunt for like 6 months out of the year.
That's what I said in the beginning. I said, you know, from the unbiased, you know, person in this, it seems like, look, you might have.
I'm hunting does. All of the does that I've shot are in my state of residence, and you have the same opportunity.
How many deer did you kill from October 1st to January 1st? How many does?
All but three of them, so still five.
Five. So you killed 2.5 deer. Shawnee got four. So oh, it's technically Shawnee winning.
You're deducting it because of the size of southern deer? No, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
He shot all these deer, and then we're like in early December. I'm pretty much done. He goes, yeah, I think I'm winning the competition. First talks of the competition all year. I'm like, we never decided on anything. Nobody said anything about this.
Well, I got the trophy, and I ordered the plaques, so...
so you're just going to declare yourself the winner this year.
Yeah. I am the back-to-back last place finisher. In the 2 years, I've killed two does. I didn't kill any last year.
None?
No. I killed two bucks last year. I didn't kill a single... Because, again, I have a lot of excuses for not shooting deer. One time, the deer were too far. I was 350. They were 200 yards. I've killed deer at 200 yards. Apparently this day, unable to. Another time, they were, they were 70 yards, and there was a blade of grass in the way. I don't know. Didn't shoot at it.
With a 350?
Another time, they were, with a 350, yeah. Another time, they were like 150 yards. My gun is literally zeroed at 150 yards. Didn't shoot them. No. So, yeah. If I would have just started shooting a deer, I probably would have had a better chance. But
he told me one time he saw like a group of does, and he's sitting in the box blind, and they're like, what, 100 yards away? He goes, yeah, I forgot I had a gun.
It's funny because Mikas and I, it wasn't this past season, but the year before, we were sitting in a pop-up, and I've been hunting in the South all year, right? And we're sitting there. We were specifically out there to shoot does. Like, that's all our intent was. We were trying to shoot does to try to take the manage the herd appropriately, right? And this doe comes out, I don't know, looks at the pop-up, and it's got to be 7 yards away, maybe 10 yards away. Cool. And I'm like, hey, there's a doe. He goes, nah, it's too small. And I'm like, I'm coming from the South, and I'm like, man, that's a full size doe down in Georgia. Like, that's, and I'm like, oh yeah, they're bigger.
About it.
We did.
Like, we argued back and forth in the blind, and I was like, Mike, that is not a doe. Like, that is a fawn. Like, this year, I can tell you, I was dusting that deer. if we would have, that situation would have happened this year, we'd have been shooting her. But that the old space saver doe there.
Yep, it would have been. Here's the other thing for me. I This might sound bad. I like shooting deer. People ask me like, hey, I had somebody say like, you shot 9 deer. Like, did you need to shoot that many? I'm like, well, I mean, between what I'm going to eat and some of it that we'll give away to neighbors, like, yeah, we will use all of that meat. But also,
yeah,
I like shooting deer. I like processing deer. I like grinding the meat. I like making the meat. I like getting a chance to share it with people. And sometimes, specifically with a bow, you got to shoot deer to get it shooting deer. Like, that's just the nature of it.
I love shooting deer. I don't know what it has been the last, like, 3 years. I've had to, like, I go through this perfect situation in my head, and then next thing you know, it's deer hunting, so it doesn't work out. Like, one of the times, deer walk out. I literally cut a tree because these deer were coming through here. The deer go through there, and instead of stopping, I have a gun. Instead of just, you know, bleeding at the deer to try and stop it, the deer keeps walking, so I don't shoot at it. And so, yeah, I got to get out of my own way. I think that's just kind of my own issue. Is I just get in my own way. With a bow, it's not nearly as bad because the deer are closer. And for me, there's just a little bit less margin for error there with a bow, especially because you can see if it's a button buck, things like that. That's probably my biggest fear, too, is it a button buck. So I spend too much time glassing deer and miss my opportunity. But, yeah, I got to get out of my own way and start shooting them. Even the first doe I killed this year, I let it walk the first time and then almost dusted a 1-inch spike because I didn't see it at antlers. And then thankfully he chased them back in front of me and I was able to shoot it the second time. So
the doe.
Yeah, it's just.
Not the button, not the spike.
It's got him messed up. I said it's the Kansas buck. It's got you messed up.
It does. Yeah. Ever since you shot that 142 in Kansas on a 1,000-yard spot in stock, you've been super picky. He's like, oh, yeah,
I don't know.
That doe's coat isn't shiny enough. She's not pretty enough. I don't, you know. Hold on.
Before the season, we talked of bringing people out there to shoot does. And I said, what if they pass does? And Mikis goes, if they come out to shoot does and they are passing them, they are never coming back to the property.
I never claimed that I wasn't a hypocrite, all right?
So, okay, let's establish some things. Shawnee won last year's trophy. This year's trophy's in question. But for the 2024 season, can we all agree? And Holden, you can
yeah,
get in,
I feel
you,
like,
you
yeah, can get yeah, in I'll, on this if I'll you want. I'll bear witness.
You can get in on you. We'll put your name on a plaque if you kill more does than some of us.
All right.
But for the 2024 season, it is from the start of the season through when?
It's from October 1st to January 1st.
Can we do poundage of deer?
I'm not weighing every deer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, look at that. So now you get the advantage. You get your advantage of having a 6-month-long season, but we don't get to use our advantage of having heavier deer, huh?
None of us have scales to weigh deer, first of all.
I have one.
Yeah. Quit making excuses.
I mean, you want to do total weight of deer, all deer you shoot? That's not really a doe, or just total weight of does?
Does.
I still would have won this year.
I doubt it.
Oh, for sure. The deer aren't that much smaller down here.
I stopped hunting at the beginning of December because I had too much meat.
Well, you need a bigger family, so you need more meat.
I had to keep hunting because I had to kill the deer. So,
How about this? We're negotiating rules right now. I'm usually back for Christmas, so it's best to probably celebrate and do the trophy display at Christmas when we'll have an awards ceremony and you can give a speech or whatever it is that you want to do. But it's got to be.
Are you bringing Holden up for Christmas?
If he wins the competition. If I win. But it's got to be from the opening of the season, right? It's got to be from like, hey, whenever your season opens, but at Christmas time, like season's done, it's over. Which cuts off last 6 weeks of my season down here.
So yeah, we'll start at October 1st and then end the week in which you come up.
No, September
4th. I'm good with that.
Mid-September.
You do not get 2 weeks ahead of us. No.
There's too many parameters here. It's not my fault. You live in a state that has limited seasons.
So, but like, what if, can we still kill a deer in multiple states between that time?
Yeah.
Is the multiple state thing. Whatever
you want between that time.
But, okay. I mean.
Okay, we can. This will be next year. So Shawnee won the first year. I've already ordered the plaque for with my name on it. So I won the second year. but next year, October 1st to the end of essentially Christmas in December. And that'll be the time period for the does. We can do that. We'll post a picture of this because you guys haven't even seen this yet. It's pretty cool. This trophy is, I don't know, 18 inches tall. It's a solid wood base with trim on the bottom. We got engraved plaques that say, I think, Doe Patrol, hashtag Freezer Queen. And then underneath it, it says like Sean Trombley, 2022, four does. And then, you know, mine will have the name. And it'll go down it almost and be the trophy will move kind of like the Stanley Cup does with those plaques on it. So that's the intent of it. But on top, right now, there are two does that are Euro mounted, but I got like a trapping wire, like a thicker gauge steel, and it's kind of like wrapped around it, and that's what ties them to the top of it. So the goal would be that eventually whoever is the winner is, Euro mounts one of these does, and there ends up being 10 doe skulls on the top of this trophy, displayed prominently throughout your household.
Just every year, the trophy gets bigger with more skulls.
Yeah, I love it. What'd you say, Makis?
I think that's a great idea. I think my wife would love that.
I mean,
she's pretty understanding. Your wife, I don't know if she'd be as understanding as me. Like, we could get a pedestal. I could probably convince my wife to get a pedestal for me to set this on.
Look, I convinced my wife to do a full body Gray Diker mount. I can.
Yeah,
I can,
but that's still like probably small. That's going to be like the same size as the trophy.
That's true.
Where are you putting the Diker at? Can it sit upstairs?
Yeah, probably right above the bed. In the bedroom.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
So, not even a single second. I think with some of the taxidermy that's coming, I'm going to have to follow the same rule that Mike Austin does. Mike Austin, the president of Treason, he has a rule that he can decide what the mount is, but his wife decides where in the house it goes.
I wish I had that problem. Right. Currently don't, but...
So. All right, let's shift the topic here a little bit because this is a perfect time for some peer pressure. Me, Minkus, and Shawnee are confirmed, mostly confirmed, going to Missouri mid-November.
What do you mean mostly confirmed?
Oh, we haven't.
Shawnee and I are confirmed.
You haven't sent your check. You haven't sent your check yet to the guy.
I'm waiting on Shawnee.
So,
dude, I'm ready.
I need your money. Or just write. I'm not writing blank checks here, buddy.
I will Venmo you right now.
Okay. Anyways, the three of us are confirmed to go to Missouri mid-November, peak rut, better time than we went a couple years ago, for the last week of their archery season before gun season opens. We are trying to convince Holden here to come with us. He has given a strong likelihood and, you know, possibility, but make it Shawnee, sell this guy on why hunting Missouri is better than staying in Georgia and hunting small deer.
Well, Georgia sucks. I can tell you that much.
I didn't kill one deer in Georgia this year. Both deer I killed were in Alabama this year.
And how many bucks did you see this year?
I saw one spike.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll see more than that. So. We went with this guy 2 years ago down in Missouri, and we went. Middle of October, late October. It was before Halloween. And we encountered the worst weather you could. It was windy. It was 80 degrees. Another day it was
monsoon.
And then the last day and a half of our hunt, we actually had good weather. Me personally, I seen a deer on every single sit when I was down there. I think I was the only one that got lucky enough to do that. But there's no bait. Like, he's not baiting, so it's not like that's how you're seeing.
But how many shooters did you see that were like 125, 130, 140 or bigger? Six?
Yeah, I seen like four in one night. I mean, I seen a couple of giants. I just couldn't get them close enough. And when the second that weather turned, I mean, it really started to heat up. I know I seen a couple shooter bucks. Matt had one in range. He just couldn't get on it.
And I think Graziano was at full draw actually on one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't know if Mike or Sean, I know they seen deer. I just don't know if they got on
the shooter book. Mike saw one because he tried to go mobile on it.
Yeah, I saw a really nice buck in a preset that the outfitter had set up and tried to then pull my XOP out of the back of the truck and get closer to where it was, but he didn't end up coming back through. But I think, Shawnee, you were probably the only one that had trouble seeing deer initially just based on kind of where you were sitting. But it was a great time when we were there, and it is probably one of the best states with one of the lower over-the-counter tag prices.
Yeah, and the nice thing, too, is if you come – we get the whole house to ourselves, so we'll be the only ones there. Whereas last year, we had to kind of share with two other dudes from Florida, and they weren't that cool. I will say, specifically, the outfitter himself is a super cool dude. Like, even the last 2 years, I still talk to him here or there, just kind of talking back and forth, not even trying to plan a hunt. I mean,
he was messaging us when we were in Kansas having a horrible time, talking about all the people that were there that were shooting deer.
Yeah. This isn't like a 5-star resort. I mean, we were staying in a tiny little farmhouse, but he cooked us dinner every night, and man, that stuff was good. I still am upset that I haven't had the tuna. Like, I'm specifically texting him like, hey, we need those tuna steaks when we go down, because they were money.
Yeah, and they have a couple pups that are there that you get to hang out with.
I got some bad news. He said Bo passed away, so I ain't gonna have no dog to cuddle with.
Oh man, that's Bo.
I ain't going no more.
He's got another dog. Bo was he had two pit bulls, and Bo was like a stray I think he found, and it just kind of stayed outside and hung out. But man, the dog was there every day. We loved Bo.
Yeah, it was. That's why Shawnee didn't shoot any deer, because Shawnee just hung out with the dog the whole time.
Yeah.
Well worth it. So I'm excited about that. It was a great time, great dude, and getting a chance to hunt Missouri again. I don't actually think it's that far from where Charles lives.
Yeah,
on there, so we can even pop in.
It's
and see
in
him,
northeast so. Missouri.
Yep.
I remember the one day. Do you remember the day you and Matt and Shawnee went out in the monsoon, and we did it the night before? Oh. And I woke up and I heard the outfitter talking about the weather, and I said, no, I'm going back to bed.
I'm not worth it.
It was Matt Graziano and I. Him and I actually talked about this, where we woke up, and I'm kind of I kind of like the embrace the suck type of thing. Like, if it's difficult, I'm just going to, you know, suck it up and do it. And we went out, and it was raining so much that you couldn't even look into the wind because it was stinging and nasty. And Matt had this was before Matt was on the field staff for Treason and really had any quality gear. And he was wearing some stuff that he'd picked up from like Sports Academy or whatever. And I remember him coming back, and even though he had a coat on or so-called rain gear, he was soaked. He was soaked.
Shawnee, didn't you spend an entire that one night hunt at the base of the tree under the tree stand?
I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, I walked half a mile to where we were getting picked up because I was so upset.
Anyways, I think this just goes into some of the camaraderie of it. But look, we can have camaraderie in Michigan. We can have camaraderie in Georgia. But why not, Holden, go to the Midwest and hunt a good state with a chance to shoot a junior booner?
It seems like I have to go.
I don't think you have a choice.
Okay.
I promise.
I don't have a choice. Yeah, I'm in.
You'll put eyes on a shooter buck. I would be shocked if you didn't. He's got quite a bit of property. I mean, I think the one place that I hunted like two times, it was like 800-900 acres by itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, there's no shortage of properties, and the dude itself is actually really funny. Like, you'll get along with him pretty well.
I think
to put it
in perspective, I think it's within like something like 15 and 20 minutes of the Drury's Missouri property.
Mm.
It's within 5 miles.
Yeah, it's close. So from a habitat or quality perspective, like, to give you an idea. So, well, man, we've been going about an hour and 10 minutes. Any closing remarks here from the two losers of the 2023 Doe Patrol competition?
Well, I think I learned this from you before, Michael. Remember, you can't have a comeback without a setback. So next year we're going to get it, which I think Holden's going to be saying for Alabama football for the next decade is we'll get them next year.
Yeah, I do say that from time to time.
I'm just going to make sure I shoot more does than you next year. Your name's never going to be on that trophy.
Can't have a comeback without a setback.
The standard is low for me, all right? So you don't have a real high bar to get over there.
I only killed two does too this year, so I don't have too much room to talk.
Shawnee, you know where that you know where that quote's from? You can't have a comeback without a setback?
No.
You probably don't want to know. This is not going to help people's perception of me. But that is a quote from Mike the Situation from the Jersey Shore. I think he's got shirts that say that. Yeah.
I said that in a work meeting one time. They ate it up. They loved it.
It's classic.
That's good work lingo.
And right as soon there. As you say it, you got to say it like this. You can't have a comeback without a setback. And then you look at him right in the eyes and you say, you should write that down. But you just go on with it.
I'll work on that for next time.
Jersey Shore is still on TV.
I love Jersey Shore.
When did it come out?
I don't know.
2010, 2009, yeah. Something like that.
Whenever wife beaters and puka shell necklaces were still popular. That's
yeah. We got GTL, Jim Tan Laundry. That's what it's about. I do all those.
Right. Yeah. So, well, I appreciate you guys coming on. This has been fun. We got to get together and hunt a little bit. Hopefully I'll make it back up there to turkey hunt again, Minkus, at some point this year. I did get, I think we mentioned this once, I got a new turkey gun, had it wrapped in all early season camo, that Stoeger M3500. So I am pumped to get that thing in the turkey woods and miss some turkeys again with you. So
I'm jazzed to watch you do it again.
And then, so right now you guys are pretty much into rabbit season, right? That's all you're doing is running your dogs.
We finally got a cold enough weather. I'm trying to go ice fishing tomorrow. It might not last long, so I'm taking the opportunity this weekend to go ice fishing a little bit, but then I'll be right back on the dogs after that.
Are you going out on the bay for walleye?
No, there's not quite enough ice. I'm going to go to the river in the morning, and then I'm just going to hit up a pond on Sunday.
Okay. Shawnee, what about you? Is there any waterfall left?
Yeah, Goose opens back up in the beginning of February, so I might take a few days off work for that and smack them around.
Are you fishing in the morning or what?
No, I gotta go work.
Sounds ridiculous. Are you?
I have to work for a living.
I'm not doing that. I did too much work there already.
All right. I think. I think that's about enough here, but we appreciate you guys coming on, and as always, it's Go Blue, Michigan 2023 national champs. Sorry, Holden, your time is over. Our time is here. Your savior, Nick Saban, is long gone. You might as well just end your football program at this point. And
you might as well just become a Michigan fan.
We'll see. We'll see.
I'll get you a shirt.
We'll send you a 2023 shirt.
Oh, gosh.
So, all right, boys, appreciate it. We will talk to you soon, and hopefully we can get up there and hunt with you a little bit. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll see you.